Hello, everyone, and welcome to the State of the Gamecocks podcast. My name is Brooks Davis, joined alongside by my co-host, Drew Bonds. Drew, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Number four in a row, Jack State 42, Middle Tennessee State 20. And if anyone remembers, about a month ago or maybe a month and a half ago, I sat here on this podcast in this chair and said that this team's going to rattle off four straight wins and they're going to go to Lynchburg 4-3. And play their best football, and that's what's happened. Bottom line, and they've played better than I thought they ever would in those four games, but I still expected them, even after the Eastern Michigan fiasco, I still expected them to go win four in a row, and they've done that. So checking the box there. That was to save the season, was these 4 weeks, and they've done it. They're where they're supposed to be now, and they just continue to kick ass and take names. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that on this podcast, but it'll be all right, I guess. Real quick into the numbers. Tyler Huff, 10 out of 18, throwing the ball for 137 yards. Very Tyler Huff stat line there. Did have a touchdown pass, no picks, which is good. And then he ran it 18 times for 151 yards. Of course, a long of 49 on the big touchdown run that kicked off the scoring for Jack State. And then Trey Stewart ran it 21 times for 210. Brooks, you said before we got on, that was the first 200-yard ball carrier since Tremaine Pope back in 2015
is what it said.
Yeah, 2015. So congrats to Trey Stewart. He is the real deal, without a doubt. 21 carries for 210. That's a 10-yard average. Of course, had a long run of 65 yards. Tyler Huff averaged 8.4 per carry. Andrew Paul carried the ball five times for 47. And they ran the ball for 440 yards against Middleton. 440 yards. That's as a team, that's 53 carries at 8.3 per pop or per carry. They had five total touchdowns there. Trey Stewart with one, Huff with two, and Andrew Paul with two. It was a complete domination on the ground, which is something we've come to expect, but 440 yards rushing in a game is unbelievable on the ground. And then that's kind of how you get to a 10 out of 18 for 137-yard stat line for Huff. He just didn't have to throw it. I think they threw the ball two times in the second half. They just never had to throw the ball, which is a really, really good problem to have. Not a whole lot. Brooks talked a little bit more on the defensive side of things. Not a whole lot to talk about. They played good, especially the middle two-thirds of the game. They let Middle Tennessee State come out and throw a long touchdown pass on the opening drive, and they let a touchdown early in the fourth quarter. But the middle two-thirds, half into the first quarter through the end of the third quarter, they played really good defense. So I think you got to be proud of that. Receiving, I know I kind of skipped over that. Cam Vaughn is kind of breaking out as the team's leading receiver now. And we talked about that when we were watching the game. Brooks will maybe talk a little more about him, but he had four catches for 82 yards, and that one touchdown pass that Huff threw was to Michael Petway, who caught three balls also. But enough rambling on for me. Brooks, tell us all your thoughts on the Middle Tennessee game.
Yeah, and honestly, credit to Middle Tennessee State. I thought they came out with a pretty good game plan, or what looked like a good game plan. Coming into this, I thought that, just kind of looking at pass numbers and looking at pass numbers from Vadiato and Amari Kelly and even a little bit of Holden Willis, I thought they would come out and throw the ball, 45, 50 times this game and just try and, kind of a similar – similar situations as to what they've done over, or similar game plans as to what they've done over the course of the season. And I thought it was a pretty balanced, what they did on the field or the times that they had the ball. I thought it was pretty 65-35 or so. Passing to run. I thought they ran the ball a lot more than what I thought they were going to do. And, in the first half, you could kind of tell we weren't, I won't say we weren't prepared for it, but there was just a few plays that kind of looked like we weren't quite expecting it. And it's a good thing that, you know, our tackling has gotten just phenomenally better than what it was the first three games of the year. We could not tackle a man standing straight up against Coastal, Louisville, and Eastern. And now, like I said, it's phenomenally better. So, you know, they were getting through the line, and they were picking for, like I said, the first quarter or two, they were picking up, you know, 5, 6, 7 yards of carry, you know, just taking chunk plays, or chunks of yards, on the ground. But, you know, I thought in the second half, we responded very well to that. We shut it down, and same with the defensive backs in the pass game. And it was able to, and credit to the offensive or defensive line, Curly Young, a little bit of, who else? Lee DeHale, Juwan Campbell, a little bit of, definitely Kywan McCray. These guys were able to get in the backfield and disrupt by the auto. And, you know, I thought that played a big part in it in the second half. We go, you know, even like you said, I thought they had a great game plan. Came out, scored first drive of the game, let a tight end get over the middle and get over the middle wide open and sprinted. Who had that? I think it was that Holden Willis. Let Holden Willis get open over the middle for what ended up being about a 61-yard touchdown. And, you know, it was looking like, you know, it was going to be back and forth all night. And then in the third quarter, we let the running game just tear him up. You know, I think that pass to Petway came in the second half, it was the second score of the game. And then, like I said, from there, it was just the running game all night. Trey Stewart had a touchdown. Tyler Huff had two. Andrew Paul had two. And with Anwar Lewis being hurt, this has become our three-headed monster of the ground game, and I'm loving every minute of it. Tyler Huff still kind of scares me when he takes my heart stops for a little bit when he takes off running, because the guy refuses to slide. Rich Rod described in his press conference as a sneaky athletic runner. He's strong. He's got a little stiff arm. He's got that he used as well. Sneaky athletic is being
undersell.
Underselling. Yeah, it's underselling him for sure.
I think he's very athletic. He's certainly a very strong runner. I think we've seen that. You saw that against, you know, Louisville whenever they were down by a bunch. He just decided to, you know, lower the shoulders and run over somebody. But yeah, very strong runner. I think he's certainly quick enough to, like we've seen, pop some big runs. He had the 49-yard run against Middle Tennessee State that opened the scoring for JSU. It's just a shame we're only going to see him for hopefully 8 more games. I guess we're guaranteed 6 more games from him. I would, you know, certainly going to see him for a 7th after that for a bowl game. But hopefully we see him for a conference championship game and then a bowl game. It would be nice. But, I don't know how an athlete like that's at Furman for so long, or at Presbyterian first, then at Furman, I guess, would be his path. But that's a problem for another day, I guess. Like you said, the defense, good game plan. I do think, like you said, Middle Tennessee State came out a lot more balanced than maybe what we expected, especially in the first half. And I'll say at half, they got down by so much they had to throw it a ton. But in that first half, you know, you saw Middle Tennessee State, run the ball with a little bit of success. If you go back at the, you know, and look at the box score, you're not going to see that because they, you know, only wound up with 68 rushing yards for the whole game, and they threw it for almost 300. But it was certainly a more of a balanced attack, at least in the first half. And I think that's kind of how he got to the locker room, only up by four. It was 14-10 at halftime. I know the fumble down at the goal line, but it was Huff and Stewart, I think, just got the handoff messed up, and that was after a really controversial issue with the referees not being set. We'll move on from that, I guess. It doesn't really matter now, but that cost a touchdown there in the second quarter. But kind of real similar to the Kennesaw game, I think, as far as, you know, off a bye week, took them a quarter to kind of maybe get going, especially defensively. And then, you know, kind of had their come to Jesus meeting at halftime and just played great football. I don't think that's going to be much of an issue going forward as far as, you know, you kind of look back at that first half and you kind of think, you know, we had the turnover, we punted twice. You know, the defense gave up a long touchdown pass. That's just football, I think. I don't think it's an issue the team starting slow and finishing strong, because we've seen them, you know, start fast against Southern Miss and start fast against New Mexico State. So I don't think it's that problem. I just think, you know, off a bye week, knock the rest off a little bit, get back in, you know, game pace, how fast in-game stuff is compared to, you know, practice reps there might have been a little more of the problem, like we saw against Kennesaw State, which, speaking of Kennesaw State, we'll get to that in a minute. But beyond that, really proud, especially the second half, that they played the way they're supposed to. And they covered. They were 20.5 point favorites, I think, or 19.5 point favorites. Able to cover that, which is always nice to be able to cover what you were supposed to do there, which is really good. But yeah, the big number tonight is 440 yards of total offense. And then if you were to want to point to something that was maybe disappointing for Jack State, no turnovers forced, I think it's a little bit disappointing, especially for a defense that was forcing turnovers left and right and up and down and from all directions up until this game, especially the last three against Southern Miss. Who did we play after that, Brooks? Kennesaw.
Kennesaw State. Kennesaw.
Yeah. Especially after Southern Miss, Kennesaw, and Mexico State, where we were forcing, you know, three or four turnovers a game, to not force any tonight was a little bit, I don't want to say disappointing, but, you know, you'd like to force a couple. You know, maybe someone had a parlay on us to get an interception. Who knows? That'd be crazy, right? But we'll move on from there. That was the big takeaway for me. Defense played well, but no turnovers forced was kind of tough.
You mentioned that. I went back and looked at the clip of Poyser knocking the ball, big hit on that receiver, on that bubble screen of the receiver, and he popped the ball out with his helmet. That 100% was a fumble. And I think McCray picked it up, or no, it was I think it was Ricky Samuel picked it up.
Yeah.
That 1,000%. He caught the ball, turned, took one step. He made a football move. That was 1,000% a fumble. And blew it dead on the field. That blew my mind. That officiating crew was weird. But sometimes they let him play a little too much.
Yeah, the midweek Conference USA officiating crew is not the top brass. Although maybe we should have thrown stuff on the field and see if we got that call reversed. I hear that works every once in a while.
If you're wearing burnt orange, it sure does.
If you're wearing burnt orange, it sure does. But I guess that'll kind of kick it there for the Jack State wrap up. Not a ton to say, not a lot of big moments to talk about and dissect. It was especially in the second half, a pretty thorough domination of the Blue Raiders. I will say, for Middle Tennessee State, they traveled pretty well for a team that was 2-5 coming into this and a 19-point underdog. So good for them for traveling really well. I think that's always really good to see for away teams at this level of college football to travel like that. So shout out to the Murfreesboro group for making their way down to Jacksonville. That was pretty cool to see. But Brooks, you can give us we'll move on to our stars of the game. And Brooks, I'll let you go first.
All right. One last thing I wanted to touch on. On my way home, I was listening to Mike Paris and Ray Hammett, and Hammett said that this is something to really make us feel good. This is the first time since the 2015 season where we went to the national championship that we have scored 40-plus points in four straight games. And that year, it was senior day or last game of the regular season. I can't remember who we played that game. SEMO, Eastern Illinois, somebody, and then into the playoffs, leading up to North Dakota State. We scored over. It was four. I know we scored in the 50s against Charleston Southern, and we put up 62 against Sam Houston in the semifinal game. And then it was somewhere now, the Chattanooga game, I think, ended up going to overtime. But, yeah, four straight games since that year that we scored 40 plus points in a game. So something, what's argued of are probably the best team in Jack State history. And these are what we're comparing. This is what this team is being compared to. And we have three losses. Yep. So something to really make us feel good. All right. Stars of the week. I'll start off with the fans. Star of the week this week. I threw in the options this week were Trey Stewart, Reggie Hughes, and Rick Trickett's bullies. The offensive line, of course. I did think they had a fantastic game. Trey Stewart and Andrew Paul and Tyler Huff just had massive holes to run through. And even Huff had some great time to pass too. So I thought they had an outstanding game. But ultimately the fans pick was Trey Stewart. And this is it goes with that. You know, I think that's probably the clear favorite. You know, he's probably the best player on the team, I would say.
I really believe that too. I mean, Tyler Huff is doing things that we haven't seen at that quarterback position since, you know, Eli was here. But the difference that Trey Stewart makes in the backfield is unbelievable for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Like I said, he's been one of the stars of the week for about probably four or five times now, and his numbers just continue to get bigger and bigger and better. Like we said earlier, this is the first time since 2015, which one made Pope, that we've had a running back with 200 plus yards in a game, 21 carries, 210 yards, and a touchdown with a long carry of 65 yards. Just phenomenal stuff that we're seeing. And, you know, this isn't a guy before the season, you know, we were fully expecting it to be Anwar Lewis. Rontavius Wiggins before he got hurt, but Anwar Lewis and Andrew Paul and maybe a little bit of Justin Savage to be kind of those guys. And out of nowhere, Trey Stewart comes in from, what was the name of that school he transferred from?
Livingston
University.
Oh, I'm sorry, Limestone
University, and just blows everybody out of the water. It's amazing the stuff we're seeing from Ashton Gentry at Boise State to be comparing this, but he is a huge part in the reason that we are one of the few schools, not players in the country, but we are one of the few schools in the country that have more yards on the year than Ashton Gentry of Boise State, who's probably going to win the Heisman Trophy this year. And his numbers, and I know we're playing different, a little bit different levels of football, but his numbers aren't too far off. What was that? Trey Stewart's about what? 14th in the country, 14th, 13th in the country on rushing yards.
Yeah. The first two or three weeks kind of hurt him on yards, 'cause he's been so dominant since then. Where he really shines is touchdowns, and actually got those numbers for us later, kind of where he stacks up throughout the country. But yeah, his yards a little bit behind the leaders, just because we, you know, those first couple of weeks, we struggled to move the ball, much at all against Coastal and Louisville. But yeah, his touchdown numbers are right up there at the top for sure.
I'm thinking Tyler Huff. Tyler Huff's up there. Either way, no matter what, just phenomenal stuff that we're seeing, from Trey Stewart. So he is the fan star of the week. My star of the week, since I already know who yours is, Drew, I'll go with the other obvious. This is usually how it goes every week. It's been one or the other getting getting a star, and mine's Tyler Huff. Again, I know, you know, him and Suter kind of become the chalk answers, but I mean, you can't deny this is just Tyler Huff. We were fully expecting, you know, it to kind of be like what we saw last year with Zon Webb and Logan Smothers, them kind of, you know, splitting the reps or even splitting the starts. And Tyler, and part of it is Logan Smothers having an injury earlier in the season, but Tyler Huff has just come in and just commanded this offense both through the air and on the ground, primarily on the ground. I pulled it up. He's in the top 15 in rushing yards, and he's rushing yards in the country, and that's a quarterback. Pull it up again real quick. But and what we're seeing through the air is fine, or through the air is fine. Don't get me wrong. Strong arm, pretty accurate. And having Michael Pettway and Cam Vaughn and, you know, some guys that are getting much, you know, better and better as the year goes on. Certainly, he's 26th in rushing yards. So 26th in rushing yards, and this is a quarterback. The only quarterback in the country who has more rushing yards than Tyler Huff is Bryson Daly from Army, and that's in a triple option offense. So, you know, once again, I keep saying phenomenal, phenomenal, but it really is just it's amazing what we're seeing from these two guys. I've said a couple times that him and Trey Stewart are seems like they're having a competition of who can have the most. Most rushing yards and most touchdowns, and it's amazing to see that our quarterback is in this mix. So, yeah, I'll give him my star of the week. Drew, what about you?
My star of the week was pretty easy. I mean, you run the ball for 440 yards, and there's five guys up front that enable you to do that. And I know that Tyler Huff and Trey Stewart and Andrew Paul and everybody else got to run the ball. They make a big difference too, but you're not running it for 440 if you don't have those five guys up front working like they're supposed to. And Coach Trickett, for those who don't know, I'm going to pause here to say, Coach Rick Trickett, the offensive line coach at Jack State, is probably the best offensive line coach in the country, and that's not a biased I love Jack State opinion. That is a well-known, at least in the offensive line world of things, opinion there. He's been at Auburn. He's been at West Virginia. He's actually been at Auburn twice, but he's been at West Virginia. He's been a lot of places that Rich Rod has been, and he is as respected of an offensive line coach as anybody in football for Coach Trickett. So the fact that we've got him at Jack State is a really, really good thing, and his five played as about as good as an offensive line can play for four quarters, and they have done that for a couple of weeks now. But left to right, Will Alstein, left tackle, Clay Webb at left guard. I know Brock Grubbe was playing center up until a couple weeks ago, but now Davion Harley is playing center. Amari Grayson and Jamal Seiler have kind of swapped a little bit at right guard here and there. Then, of course, Cam Jones at right tackle. I just think that group is playing that's probably the best position group or best unit we've got right now, at least if you exclude the quarterback and running back position. We look at the wide receiver group, you know, any of the defensive groups, the defensive line and the DBs. I think the offensive line are making the biggest difference and probably playing the best on the team. They are really, really gelled and meshed together. And, you know, you got three of those guys, or at least two of them, were not even on the team last year, much less starting and playing meaningful snaps. Those two of the guys are transfers. I think, you know, it took a couple of weeks for them to get in the rhythm, but to run the ball like this team has the last three games, it's been a unbelievable thing to see, and I could not be more happy with where Coach Trickett has those guys right now. So they get my star of the game. It was an easy decision for me. When you see a four in the rushing column is nearly unheard of. But anyway, we'll move on momentarily here, and we'll get to what was probably the biggest news of the weekend. We'll talk about some other scores here first. So we'll savor this for just a minute, but Sam Houston on the road at Pitt Bowl Stadium, they won 10-7. That quarterback injury against Western Kentucky that they had is looking really, really big. FIU, not a good football team. They're 2-6 now. But Sam Houston was shut out in the first half. They found a way to get in the end zone in the third quarter and a field goal there late in the fourth to win that game 10-7. But bowl eligible now for the Bearcats at 6-2. So, you know, good for them for getting to that big plateau they missed out last year. But that quarterback injury, unless they see some improvement from that position, looks like a really tough pill to swallow for the Bearcats. But we'll see kind of as the year goes. La Tech beat UTEP at home 14-10. I'm not going to talk a lot about this game. I didn't watch one snap of it. I don't really know what all went down there in Ruston. But Louisiana Tech with a touchdown there in the fourth quarter to secure a 14-10 win. And then Brooks, I'll let you take it from here and tell everyone the news of the weekend.
Probably, I don't want to over-exaggerate how big this is, but this is no joke. One of the biggest. This could be considered one of the biggest upsets in the last
5 years.
5 years, yeah, I think that's plenty fair enough to say. 0-6, our bitter rival Kennesaw State. A 27-point underdog at home against undefeated Liberty, and they beat them. If you hadn't seen it now, spoiler alert, they beat them. This is a Liberty team that we, Drew, you and me, have been kind of reading in the tea leaves that they're not as good as what certainly not as what they were last year and what they were projected to be this year. I mean, they were going in just about every playoff bracket projection that I saw going into the season had Liberty getting that 12th spot and making the college football play, being the first, well, technically second group of five representative in the college football playoff. And I don't know what the deal is. If, like I've said a couple of times, maybe Caden Salter is just drinking his own Kool-Aid or what, but they just – something is off about this Liberty team, and it scares me a little bit for this to happen. I know you said it too last night, for this to happen, you know, the week before we go to Lynchburg. You know, a little worried to catch a pissed-off Flame squad right before our game. This is going to be this has the potential to be an elimination game now for Liberty.
If we
can take care of business down the stretch, but it really is amazing. This ESPN said that this is the first time in 23 years a team 0-5 or worse has defeated a team 5-0 or better. 23 yeah. years. So this
and it's
literally is a historic upset.
Yeah, and like you said, would rather Jack State be the team to show everybody that Liberty is not a good football team, but this is not something that came out of nowhere. We have said for weeks, and Brooks, you said a minute ago, we're reading in between the lines, but we have said for weeks that Liberty, this was coming for them. We hoped that they would make it to us at 6-0. I think that would have been ideal. But it's not like they were beating everybody by 30 and then dropped a game to Kennesaw. Then you're kind of worried like, hey, this is already a good football team. Now they're going to have a fire underneath them. This team's just not that good. They've played a very weak mm-hmm. schedule. I mean, Caden Salter in this game threw the ball 40 times and only had 200 yards show. That's only 5 yards per throw or per completion. He only completed 22 passes. So, I mean, that's 2.5 yards a throw. That's not where you need to be. If you're going to throw it 40 times, you can't only have 200 yards to show for it, and you can't complete, 52% of your passes against Kennesaw State and expect to win. And not only, I mean, the Liberty defense, let Kennesaw State's quarterback, Davis Bryson, complete 16 of 20 passes for 189. So, I mean, we saw firsthand where this Kennesaw State team is, and they're just not there. There's no way around it. The defense was not there. The offense was not there. And I thought Jack State played a really bad first half in that game, and they still put up 62 points. And Liberty just struggled the entire night. I know we didn't get to watch because we were at the Jack State game, but it shouldn't come as a huge shock as far as that they played poorly. The shock is they got beat. Now, there probably was some degree of Liberty looking ahead to Jack State throughout the week in practice, but it doesn't make it easier to swallow if you're a Flame fan. I don't understand how you get off the bus there in Cobb County and don't come back with a victory against how bad we've seen the Owls look at times. But good for Kennesaw. I mean, I don't like when Kennesaw wins in any sport, much less when they win a football game. But you know, good for them getting off to Schneid here in the FBS. I don't want anyone to go 0-12, except for Auburn. But this was a shock for sure. I know one of the big Twitter accounts that we communicate with quite a bit before the night started posted stuff that said, you know, with these two games between Liberty and Kennesaw and Jack State and Middle Tennessee, you're going to see something you've never seen before. And you certainly did see something you've never seen before. Not only Kennesaw State winning at the FBS level, but like Brooks said, the first time in 23 years, 0-6 or a team worse than 0-6 is beating a team 5-0 or better, was the shock of probably the week as a whole, but certainly shock of the midweek madness that we've had here in the Conference USA. But next week, this makes it pretty black and white for Jack State. If you don't go down to Lynchburg next week and win, it's a complete failure. I know Liberty has the talent to show up and play good. I'm not going to say that you know, if Jack State loses, that the season's gone, because that's certainly not true, because this team's still going to go do good things this year. But they should absolutely go to Lynchburg next week on Wednesday night, come back with a victory, and there's just no way around it anymore. You saw it the first 5 weeks with Liberty playing lackluster football and starting out slow, and then you certainly saw, you know, they put a whole game together. They just did it backwards, right? They put a whole bad game together for the first time, and they got beat by a bad football team. So Jack State needs to go down to Lynchburg next week and just beat the hell out of them. There's just no way around it. This team should not be at the level that Jack State is right now, at least if the first six games are anything to show for it. At least that's my opinion. I don't know where you sit, Brooks, but.
Well, you talk about hate Kennesaw winning and winning a game like this, but I mean, it really did help us now, because, you know, we go up to Lynchburg next week, and if we take care of business, Liberty is done. That narrows it down to a three horse race. It's going to come down to those last 2 weeks in the regular season, and if, like I said, I have to do a little bit more research, see what the situation is with Sam Houston State's quarterback. But if they play anything like they did against Florida International with this quarterback, and maybe the kid will get better before then, but God will, it'll be similar to what it was last night and the weeks before, I think.
Yeah.
Of course, we still have to play Florida International too, but anyways, that game becomes a whole lot easier. And now you look at, you know.
The path is open, Brooks.
Yeah. We play Western Kentucky not for a matter of getting in the conference championship. It's we're playing for where's it going to be hosted, in Jacksonville or in Bowling Green.
Yeah.
Which is major, major, major.
Yeah. That is the other side of this. The conference championship is Western's and Jack State's to lose at this point. I mean, if Jack State goes to Lynchburg and takes care of business, their path is extremely easy to get there. They have to beat either Sam Houston or Western, ideally both, but you have to beat one or the other, and you're in it no matter what. Assuming you beat FIU and Louisiana Tech, we're not going to say that Jack State can't go fumble one of those away. It's really unlikely that they do, at least if they play the way they have been. But right now, the team sits at 4-3, 3-0 in conference. The path to succeed in what they set out to, Rich Rod said for the year, that the goal is to win the conference. It could not be more open to Jack State to go win the conference than it is right now as they sit. And, you know, Kennesaw had a big hand to play in that, which is really good. So, the season's gone as good as it possibly could for a team that started out 0-3. And there is no other way to say that.
I'm looking at Sam Houston's upcoming schedule. They play Louisiana Tech next week. Got an off week, and then they go to Kennesaw. Could we see Kennesaw before they play us? Could we see Kennesaw pull this off again?
I kind of doubt it. I mean,
do it again.
They did, and Sam Houston played really bad against FIU. That was a game that FIU could have, should have won. But I don't think Sam Houston has the defensive problems that Liberty does as far as, you know, they gave up points to East Carolina, who has a really bad offense. I mean, East Carolina's quarterback led at one point. He may still lead the country in turnovers. And let Eastern, you know, Carolina score 25 or 30 points. So I think Sam Houston's defense is still a pretty stout bunch. I know they didn't play great in the second half against Western Kentucky, and they played bad against Texas State, at least in the first quarter. Then they really got their act together and played good in that game from the second, third, and fourth quarter on. So I do think Sam Houston is much better coached, I guess what I'm trying to say, than what Liberty seems to be right now. And that gives me a little more faith that they'll go take care of business against a team like Louisiana Tech and Kennesaw. I don't think Liberty is certainly not well-coached like Sam Houston is. So certainly if Sam Houston were to drop another conference game, that would be welcome, because that would make our path all that more easier to get to where we want to be. So, you know, we'll pull for Louisiana Tech. I guess we'll pull for Kennesaw when they play Sam Houston, because that would just help us out even more. But if this team can – how big the game is next week in Lynchburg cannot be – I can't overstate what it means for this team, for what they want to do this year, for them to go win that football game.
Yeah, it's still feeling – like I said – Before they beat Kennesaw, I really did. I think we were going to go to – I didn't think we were going to beat them like we have, you know, like we have Middle Tennessee and Kennesaw and New Mexico State. But I really thought we would be able to go up there and, you know, and take care of business about as well as we could. You know, maybe it'd be a – maybe win like 28-14 or 35-21, something like that, because we're going to score.
Yep.
I think it's just a matter of, you know, what are I believe that Liberty's going to come out a little bit more well prepared for this game than they were Kennesaw. So it's going to be interesting to see how we do respond to a little bit of adversity. You know, the first time we've really seen kind of a you know, back and forth battle since that Eastern Michigan game. And I think we go back and play that Eastern Michigan game today, even if it is, you know, I think we beat them. I think we beat them handily, and maybe even Coastal's, probably, you know, certainly the best team we've played all year besides Louisville. But, you know, going back, I think that game's close, but I still think we come out on top, and we may get a rematch with them in a bowl game. But it cannot stress the importance of this Liberty game. I feel confident in it. We'll do a full preview of it next week with a full deep dive, but I feel confident in it. Little interested to see what a pissed off, if this is a pissed off Liberty, what they'll turn out to be. But Kennesaw, thanks. It helped us out big time. Big time.
Yeah. Big time. Especially, you know, looking ahead at, like we've said a couple times, this is an extremely top-heavy conference. You've got four teams that are good and six teams that are bad, and there's no other way to look at it.
No.
Jack State, Liberty, Western, and Sam Houston are good football teams. Everyone else is not a good football team. I'm sorry, that's just the way it is right now. It's going to get better, I believe, when Delaware and Missouri State enter the league next year, so that's a good thing. But right now, it's an extremely top-heavy league, and if you can have one of those, you know, four horses that were competing for a conference title spot lose to one of your six bad teams, well, that helps out Jack State, Western, and Sam Houston like nothing else does. So if Jack State can go into Lynchburg and win, that pretty much kills Liberty's odds of getting in the – unless mass chaos happens, that kills Liberty's chance of getting in the title game. And it's, like you said, it's a round robin those last 2 weeks of the year, and we'll see how it goes. But we'll leave that full breakdown for later on next week. Brooks, do you have anything else?
No. Like I said, really proud of our performance yesterday. I really like where this team is at, and I really like really like where we stand going to Liberty next week. It's going to be I don't think that we'll see back-to-back performances like that necessarily from the Flames. But I think it's going to be I think we'll come out with a win next week. Like I said, we'll do a full deep dive, but I like our odds. I like it's I like us to finally knock off Liberty for the first time in a little while. I'm excited. Wednesday can't get here soon enough because I really do want to see how both teams respond. I think it's going to be a good game.
I do too. I think it'll be a good contest. Jack State, only thing to improve on is to start quicker because we've seen them start slow against Kennesaw and now start slow a little bit against Middle Tennessee. So start fast. I have nothing but faith in the second half that they're going to be dominant, and they just need to wear the Liberty defense out on the ground. That's what they've done the last 4 weeks. That's what's worked. Wear them out, throw it to keep them honest. 10 for 18 for 170 is perfect from Tyler Huff. Just wear them out on the ground. I don't think they're going to rank for 400 yards, but I think they're going to put up their 35, 40 points and come back with a good victory. But we'll save that dive for later on in the week. And if you've made it this far, like always, thanks for listening to us. Go find us on Twitter, that kind of thing, and we'll see you guys here in a few days.
Everybody keep your eyes out on Twitter. Keep your eyes out on Twitter and this podcast in the next couple. We got something really, really cool planned. Other than that, we'll see y'all next week.